It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication. My emancipation don't put your equation.
Bienvenidos a Radio Prensa Pobre. Radio para el pueblo, creado por el pueblo. Welcome to Port News Network Radio. Radio for the people, by the people in struggle. On today's show, we'll be hearing the powerful voices of youth leaders from Santa Rosa resisting the murder of 13-year-old Andy Lopez and a research investigation led by us, the residents, the impacted peoples, not by poly tricksters, on the privatization of public housing. But first, the truth behind the headlines with Tiny.
It's a state of emergency. 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 It's a state of emergency.
Asheo Omateo. On Tuesday, October 22nd, thousands of families whose black, brown, and poor children were killed by the occupying armies known as police marched on the Sacramento State Capitol for the National End Police Brutality Day. On the same day, a 13-year young child, Andy Lopez, was murdered for walking with a toy gun in Santa Rosa, Califasaslan, by the occupying armies known as police and sheriffs. In this segment, we will hear the voices of resistance from thousands of youth leaders who stormed the sheriff's department to demand justice for their hermano, Andy. Last Thursday, a secret meeting was held at San Francisco City Hall with officials from the San Francisco Housing Authority to discuss the selling off of public housing buildings to private developers. This follows the application by the San Francisco Mayor's Office for the technology called RAD, Rental Assistance Demonstration, which is a national demonstration promoted by HUD, which will be adopted by cities across the U.S. to sell all of our remaining public housing buildings to private investors. We will hear from current and former public housing residents on their feelings on the selling out from under us of our homes. Last week, Romanian poverty scholar farmers in a small town off eastern Romania set up a camp outside an empty lot where Chevron had planned to begin drilling, fracking. They blocked access, forcing Chevron to suspend their genocidal drilling for natural gas, or fracking as it is known. Maybe we don't have money, but we have clean water and we are healthy and we just want to be left alone, said 47-year-old protester and farmer. This happened as the Name Your Price and I'll Approve Your Corporate Plans Governor Brown approved fracking in Califasaslan. And our indigenous warrior brothers and sisters in Canada were shot as they try to resist the lie of fracking. Finally, as indigenous landless peoples in resistance who honor our ancestors every day from Maya to Africa, we send a special radio shout out this week when the veil is lifted between the worlds of the spirits and us on this side of the journey to all of our ancestor poverty scholars, trabajadores who die trying to cross these false borders to feed their families, African and Rasa warriors who die in these plantation prisons, Asheo Herman Wallace, and so many more. And all of us poor folks, gentrified, displaced, and forgotten, who die on the cold streets of America KKK every day. Asheo Omateo, Samin Kakonawari, ho.
Prensa Pobre, mamas and youth scholars, BBT and Tiny Tiburcio, and Sister Laura Cedillo pulled their gas money and traveled to Santa Rosa last Friday to report and support on the youth-led resistance of thousands of high school students who, with their conscious teachers' approval, walked out of their schools and marched to Santa Rosa Sheriff's Department to demand justice for Andy Lopez. Here are the voices.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast.
My name's Jose. I'm here to protest. I'm 18. I'm here to protest against this, I call it police brutality. He's 13 years old, and I know he didn't understand the term stand down. That's why he turned around. That's when they started shooting him. Shooting a 13-year-old? Come on, man. He has the rest of his life ahead of him. He could have his wife, children, be a grown adult, you know? But no, these cops had to take his life all because of a BB gun?
Does this kind of profiling and police harassment happen a lot around here?
Well, not a lot around here, but, I mean, it's happened in Oakland and San Francisco. I mean, for instance, look at the BART brutality. I mean, come on. They accidentally pulled out the real gun when accidentally trying to pull out the taser. I mean, come on. They're taking out the Mexicans, the African Americans. But what are they doing to the white people? They're just leaving them alone like it's nothing.
I am 16.
Okay, what is your name?
Maria.
Can you say how you feel about the young brother?
I feel really frustrated because, like, they could have done anything else, but they just decided to shoot him. And not only that, but they handcuffed him afterwards. It's like, what kind of a person are you? It's kind of sad to see that that actually happened here in Santa Rosa, where you least expect it. And to a 13-year-old.
Did you know Andy Lopez?
No, but I was close to his brother.
I feel like we should get justice. My name is Mac Ash.
How old are you, bro?
I'm 18.
Okay, and you from this area?
Yes, Santa Rosa.
Do you feel like racism happens out here with the police?
Yep, I do. I sure do.
To read the story and watch the video done by Prensa Pobre, go online to www.poormagazine.org/magazine. There was also a powerful march on Tuesday. To see the media from this march, go online to Justice for Andy Lopez on Facebook.
The time's going to be better. Well, and that I really do know. Well, the time's going to be better. And that I really do know.
In late September, after it was already a done deal, public housing residents of San Francisco, Chicago, L.A., Berkeley, and other cities across the nation were informed that there was a new form of tricknology going down to sell off all the remaining public housing units that we po folks live in and think are permanent housing to private developers. This was after many of our housing units have already been stolen by the lie of Hope 6. Many of us poverty scholars at Poor Magazine are current or former housing and or Section 8 residents and tenants. So when we found out about this newest theft of our resources, homes, and land, we launched a We Search. That's poor people, not philanthropimped research, at Street Newsroom at Deep East TV in Deep East Oakland. Here are the voices.
Well, how do you feel about the privatization of public housing? In other words, it's been sold off to private investors.
Well, if they're still about helping the people, I have no problem with it. If they're not going to help us with hidden agenda, that's a problem.
Okay, how long have you been in public housing?
11 years. In Oakland.
Okay. It's going to be hard for people on a fixed income. You know, we can't afford to pay. We need this. How do we expect to get ahead if they don't help us? Look, that's why people are turning to doing all these crazy things. They're trying to make ends meet. And this is what society wants us to do, really, though. To me, that's a form of genocide.
Well, I was born and raised in Frisco, born and raised living in public housing. We've been in the same neighborhood all of my life. And it was okay. It was the housing authority thing. It was pretty good when the mamas of the community, they fought really hard to make sure that we maintained the public housing and that there wasn't no underhanded tricks. But, you know, as far as my neighborhood now, it is being gentrified and we are being pushed out with the false lie of that there's too much crime or they just don't want poor people in Frisco anymore, period.
up next to explain the background of the death of our public housing is Paul Bowden from the Western Regional Advocacy Program, RAP, who has done extensive research on this process and the subsequent criminalizations of our poor bodies of color once we are houseless.
I'm blessed to be on the phone with a revolutionary in so many ways, Paul Bowden from Western Regional Advocacy Project. Paul, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
All right. So, you know, we've been fighting this technology, the new one called RAD. And before we can even make listeners or help listeners understand the depth of the technology, we kind of need to give them a little background on, you know, how did we get here as public housing residents? How did we get to our last acre and our one remaining mule?
It really goes back to 1979. The last year of Carter, we saw the first hits to public housing while this country was supposedly in a recession. Reagan came in 80 and basically standardized the fact that if ain't nobody making a profit off of this program, it's not a good government program. And so the hits to public housing, Section 8 housing, all the affordable housing programs, the idea that government funding to ensure that poor people have a clean, decent, safe place to live, as was mandated in the 1937 Public Housing Act, is no longer the purview of government. So housing subsidies are good if there's profits being made by corporations and wealthy Americans, and housing subsidies are bad if it's benefiting poor people in general. So from that, you get the low-income housing tax credit program, which replaces affordable housing through private companies getting tax credits by investing in the development of affordable housing. Overwhelmingly, that housing is 80% of median income to 120% of median income and does absolutely nothing to benefit poorest of the poor, or frankly, even just poor.
Right.
And we see that playing out where now poor people are having to try to get housing vouchers to get into developments that were built to provide housing for poor people.
Right.
So it's an asinine program, but people are making money off it, so that program continues and continues to grow. So take this and realize government doesn't see its role as the living conditions in public housing, the affordability of public housing, the access to public housing. They don't see that as their role anymore.
Right.
And therefore, they look at a public housing stock that they haven't been able to demolish. And they do choice neighborhood initiatives. They did Hope 6. And it still wasn't working to their goals. And they said, you know what? We're never going to invest in public housing again. So why don't we sell that stuff off as well? Mm. And we'll see if we can't get corporations to invest through gaining mortgages over what is public property to invest, and we'll give them tax credits so they make a nice buck, and we'll see if that can't solve the problem of relieving the government from its responsibility to care for and ensure the housing needs of the poorest of the poor. When you destroy people's housing and they're poor, they end up in the freaking streets. Mm-hmm. They end up in the streets, you use the cops to try to get rid of them.
Exactly. I want to make that very clear for listeners. You know, we talk about houselessness, we talk about criminalization all the time. Before we were houseless and being put in jail for the crime of houselessness, we had a home. These are extremely important dots to be connecting. You don't talk about one without the other. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thank you very much.
Talk soon. So as we heard the dismantling and the technology on the backs of us poor folks, we have a new proposal. It's to change the conversation, because we as poor and landless African, indigenous, and poor peoples whose backs have been used for the profit of corporations and government and private NGOs and nonprofit industrial complexes, we have equity, okay? And we refuse to be constantly stolen from anymore, displaced, kicked out, gentrified, and then policed. We're putting an urgent call out to all and any conscious law firms, lawyers, legal representatives who might be listening to help us with a class action suit for our equity. To read the background story, you can go online to www.poormagazine.org/magazine and click on Stealing Our Last Acre and Our One Remaining Mule.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication leads to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation.
So that's all for today's show. Thank you to Anthony Fez and Andres Soto for the media access. All power to the people.